Lord God Almighty, we are continuing our series on Love Not the World. Love not the world. Thank you, Lord God. Love not the world. Look at 1 John, while I get myself together here, chapter 2. Look at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, 16, and verse 17. Glory be to God. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15 through 17. And it reads, "Do not love the world." Remember, that's present, active, imperative. It's a command and present. We are to stop loving the world. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think I still have it up here. Nope, I don't. But remember, the world, to love the world, is to be fond of it, to treasure it, to love it above all else. If you love the world that way, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a fancy way of saying you are not saved. Verse 16, for all that is in the world and the total sum of everything that's in the world is the desires of the flesh, one, desires of the eyes, two, and pride of life or in possessions. Those are the three things. And when he says for all that is in the world, that is a comprehensive summary. Nothing is left out. God himself, through the Apostle John, comments and summarizes comprehensively everything that's in the world. The lust and desires of the flesh, the lust and desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions of life. It's not from the Father. It's not sourced in the Father. It's not rooted in the Father. It's not founded on the Father. But it is from the world. It is sourced and rooted and founded on the world and the system. And that world is what? Passing away. Along with those desires from verse 16. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So we're focusing in on verse 16 right now for all that is in the world. And we went over last time the lust and cravings and desires of the flesh. The word lust, again, is epithumia, which is, remember, epi, E-P-I, that's the preposition attached to the verb thumia. And when you do that, when you add the preposition to the verb in the Greek, it does what? Anybody remember? It intensifies the verb. Remember we said that? It intensifies, so putting epi on top of or in front of thumia goes from having a desire or a craving or a longing to an epi makes it an intense desire. Epi makes it a strong craving, and epithumia makes it a passionate longing. So this is not just some light situation desiring of the word. It is intense, it is strong, and it is passionate. Went over the word flesh. Again, flesh is the totally depraved nature that governs us. It affects our reason. It affects our will and our emotion. Again, when the flesh is in control, we are in trouble. We're in trouble. Amen. And of course, we talk about the base animal instinct. We talked about David, or like referring to David. He just saw him win. Just saw him win. Boom. No control, no nothing. He just saw, and he just jumped on him. And the devil tried to get the devil to do the same thing. So we went over that the last couple of weeks. Went over all those ugly desires, lust of the hearts, impurity to dishonoring our bodies, changing the truth for God for a lie, choosing dishonorable passions, women laying with women, men with men. We talked about sexual immorality, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, insulters, swindlers, and so forth. Then we began to talk about desires of the eyes. When we talked about the desires of the eyes, we first recognized that eyesight is a gift from God. having eyes and eyesight, they're gifts from God. They are a grace of God. We read Proverbs 20:12, the hearing and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Ecclesiastes 11:7, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Look at this. It's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. It's the Lord commenting on that. But we said this last Wednesday, that as the eyes allow light in and they are open windows, guess what? Temptation can enter as well. As it is for light and the sun and other things to enter in, so can temptation. And then sin perverts the use of the eyes. It's a good thing, but it can be perverted, and we can see things that are evil, sinful, and ungodly. And we talked about the fruitless attempts to satisfy the desires, the intense cravings and longings of the eyes. Why? Because Proverbs let us know that the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 1:8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Ecclesiastes 1:8. Ecclesiastes 4:8, indeed his eyes were not satisfied with riches. He had riches. He bought and obtained what his eyes saw, and they still were not satisfied. We're going to talk about today, and then we'll probably finish that today. We're going to talk about examples of those throughout Scripture who went after the desires of the eyes. They went after the intense desires that their eyes were going after, strong cravings of the eyes, a passionate longing of the eyes. And those saints of God, or the people of God, or the people throughout Scripture who went after what their eyes saw and got them into much trouble. Let's begin with Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Eve is the first example of one who went after what her eyes saw and plunged the world into sin. Well, through her husband, actually. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis 3 and 6. When the woman, who's the woman? Eve. When the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food. What? How did she recognize that it was good for food? She saw it. And that it was a delight to the what? Eyes. Isn't it something that the word of God through the writer Moses mentions in the same verse, that she saw that the tree, she saw that the tree was good for food, and it added, and that it was a delight to the eye. It specifically mentions her vision, her seeing, and it was delightful to the eyes. It's something that the first person that disobeyed God in the entire history of all mankind, it was through the eye gate. Now, technically speaking, she fell into sin back in verse, 2, 3, 4, because when the devil came to her in verse 1 with that slick question, did God really say? That you should have said, yep, sure did. Anything else? And just shut it down. But she did not. And the devil knew and began to talk to her. Verse 4, he refutes, he flat out rejects and says, God, he flat out rejects the word of God. Because God said, you'll surely die. He said, you won't surely die. A direct refutation and rejection of the word of God. First time in history of all mankind. And she should have said, yes, he did say that. I know it. I told you what he said. In verse 2, I told you what he said. But she did not. And the moment she didn't shut it down, pretty much she was done then, because she was done between the ears before it was acted on outwardly or externally. Do you understand? Have we not talked about that? Remember Jesus said, whoever looks, oh, there's the vision, there's the eyes, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery where? In her heart. Is it not? Is that adultery in the heart not already considered sin in the eyes of God? If you heard your answer, then Eve committed sin right there. What was the sin? Not trusting God. She heard what God said. She quoted it to the devil, what God said. She knew what God said. And she decided inside her, on the inside, before the act in verse 6, she decided between verses 4 and 5, that I'm going to not obey God. Because I'm going to choose to believe the devil over God. Because the devil says in verse 5, for God really knows that in the day you eat thereof, you will be like God, like him, knowing good and evil. And you know what? God doesn't want competition. He don't want nobody with him. He's selfish. He's withholding things from you. He's really not who he says he really is. Hey, she believed all of that. Yeah, verse 6. Oh, I see. She was set up. And her eyes simply carried out what was already in her heart. Does that make sense? And notice that she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. What was the third? Because all three things are here. Desires, epithumia of the flesh, epithumia of the eyes, and pride in possessions. What was she going to possess? Anybody know? Knowledge, wisdom. Yeah, it says in verse, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Her pride and possessions was, I want to possess wisdom that's going to make me wise as God. And you see all three. And I wouldn't be surprised as the Holy Spirit is moving on his slave, the Apostle John, to write this out, that the Lord doesn't have him thinking of Eve. The first person who sinned against God. It was her eyes, her lust, and her pride. And when she saw it, she took from its fruit and ate. By the way, it never says an apple. She took from its fruit and ate the fruit of that tree. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The fact that those two words, with her, that's mind-blowing. You can hardly pass it. The fact he's standing right there, not off somewhere, but standing right there. It would appear, based on how that's constructed, that he stood there and watched the whole thing. There's two things. You can teach marriage on that too, because the husband should have, once he saw that she wasn't following God, should have jumped in and protected her. And the woman should have not been talking to the devil and should have come up under the authority of her husband. So there's two things there that you could teach on concerning marriage, but we'll go on by that. So we see that Eve's eyes got her in trouble. Let's look at another person in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 19. Let's talk about Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19, You know the story, I believe you do. I won't take it for granted that you do, but I will go over it very briefly. There are twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And in those cities, there was homosexuality was running rampant. And their sin had come up before God. It was such that it had come up before God. And of course, that's symbolic. The Lord knows it. Just letting them know this, how rampant it was in that city. Everything is before God. So that's just symbolic of letting us know just how rampant it was in those two cities. I mean, it lets you know clearly that when the angel of the Lord, when the angels had come down, they took on forms of men and they were handsome men. And when the homosexuals knew that they were in town and had gone to Lot's house, the word of God says that every male in the city, from the top to the bottom, from all males had come into that, to Lot's house, and surrounded the house and demanded that bring those men out, that we may have our way with them. And Lot said, hey, let me give you my daughters. That's really crazy. You can have them instead. He said, no, we want the men. Then they were struck with blindness. You would think that as they were trying to get into the house, they were suddenly struck with blindness. You would think that they would then just leave it alone. Like, wow, I'm blind. I can't see. But the word of God said they scratched and clawed at the door continually. That's just how strong the craving was. Extremely intense, strong craving, that intense desire, passionate longing, that even though the miracle of blinding them because of their homosexual desires, their impurities, they still were trying to get in that door. The word of God says that they wearied themselves. It was very, very sinful. And so he tells Abraham, I'm going to rain fire down on these cities. I'm through being merciful. But I need you to get your nephew out of there and his wife and family, daughters, get him out of there. And then I'll rain down fire. So they're rushing out. They said, get out of here. The angel said, come on, hurry up. Let's get on back. Let's get out of here. Look at verse, now we pick it up in verse 17. When they had brought, the angels, had brought them, Lot, his wife, his daughters, outside, one of the angels said, escape for your life. Do not look, that's the eyes, back behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away. In what? The raining down of the fire from heaven on these twin cities. Let's skip down to verse 26. As they're running away, right? They're out there. They're free and clear. But his wife, whose wife? Lot's wife. From behind Lot. So some commentators say that she was in front of Lot, probably getting out of there. But her longing began to happen, cravings. And so she kind of probably slowed down a little bit and Lot passed her. And now she's behind Lot. And so from behind, verse 26, then his wife from behind him looked back. Now, we tend to think that looked back mean that she just took a glance back and fell into a pillar of salt, per se. No, in the Greek, that's not just a look back glance. I have here in my notes that she went behind her husband, looked backwards, probably, and we won't be dogmatic, with a longing for the house and the earthly possessions she had left with reluctance. I want to go back there. I don't care about all what the Lord done told me. I want my stuff. Her desire was for her possessions, seemingly, possibly, were very intense and a very strong craving and a passionate longing for the things that she was leaving, so much so that she willingly did what? Disobeyed God. Did the angel of the Lord say, don't look back? And she became a pillar of salt. And that simply means, pillar of salt means that she doesn't instantly turn into one. Notice it says she became a pillar, not turned into one. And I didn't recognize, sometimes we read too fast. It wasn't like she turned into a pillar of salt. No, she was encrusted with the ash and stuff that was coming down from the rain. Remember, he said, get out of here lest you get swept away in it. And the Lord God allowed she, through her disobedience, the ash and so forth encrusted her, if you will. And it stood as a monument, like a statue, a reminder. This is what happens when you disobey God. And you choose to love the world more than you love me. It served as a reminder. I'm going to show you that in the New Testament. I don't know if you put it together. Look at Luke. You say Luke about Lot's wife? The New Testament? Yeah. Luke, the 17th chapter. Look at verse 31. Luke, the 17th chapter. Look at verse 31. Beginning.